Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the conference call on the quarter results of 2013 of DSM. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To register for questions, you may dial star one at any time. If any participant has difficulty in hearing the conference, please press 00 on your push-button phone. Now, I would like to turn over the conference to Mr. Herman Vincent. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you. Good morning and welcome to this conference call for DSM's Capital Markets Day that we are organizing today. Sitting here with me is Mr. Rolf-Dieter Schwalb, Chief Financial Officer and member of the DSM Managing Board. He will elaborate on this morning's press release and after that answer your questions. As always, this call will last 30 minutes. I'm also obliged to say that today's presentation may contain forward-looking statements, and in that regard, I would like to direct you to our disclaimer about forward-looking statements as published on our website and in our press releases. With that, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Rolf-Dieter Schwalb. Rolf-Dieter, please go ahead.
Thank you, Herman. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this conference call on the DSM Capital Markets Day, as we always have it end of September. I will keep my opening comments short to allow as much time for questions as possible. At today's Capital Markets Day, we are providing a review of our strategic progress and an update on our 2015 targets. We are also providing an update on current trading conditions. As you know, we announced our DSM in Motion Driving Focused Growth strategy 3 years ago with ambitious targets and aspirations. We achieved a lot in the past 3 years, including a transformation of our portfolio, resulting in more stable, higher quality earnings. We remain firmly on track to achieve the strategic objectives we set out 3 years ago, and we will remain focused on further improving our profitability. This is also reflected in the updated targets for 2015, reflecting our transformed portfolio and market dynamics. We are introducing a new group EBITDA margin target of 14%-15% for 2015 and a return on capital employed target of 11%-12%. Most of the already existing 2015 targets remain unchanged. Now for the current market conditions. The challenging macroeconomic environment we discussed at the publication of our Q2 results is continuing. Little or no growth in Europe, good levels of economic activity in Asia, but at more modest levels than we were used to, and a modest rate of recovery in the U.S. For Nutrition, we continue to expect clearly higher results than in 2012. We are currently seeing some pricing pressure, especially vitamin E, due to a fragile recovery in animal protein. Fish oil-based omega-3 sales are impacted by somewhat lower consumer demand following recent sharp retail price increases. Overall, the compelling growth drivers of the Nutrition business remain unchanged, and we expect to move organic growth towards target level with EBITDA margins well within the 20%-23% target range. As indicated before, the business conditions in Pharma remain challenging. For Performance Materials, we expect improved results despite the negative effects of caprolactam we have discussed before. For Polymer Intermediates, lower results are expected. Overall, we expect a significant increase in our EBITDA for this year, thanks to stronger organic growth, our profit improvement program, benefits from the acquisitions we completed, and our more resilient portfolio. As you know, last year's EBITDA was 1.1 billion euro. If you correct that for the caprolactam downturn, even only just above 1 billion. Foreign exchange rates and the recently announced renewal of the Dutch crisis tax are likely to have a negative impact this year. Overall, based on current economic assumptions, we continue to expect to move towards our 2013 EBITDA target of 1.4 billion. Taking the above earlier mentioned factors into account, we are now able to make our outlook a bit more precise. It could end up slightly below 1.35 billion, which is still a growth of more than 20% or even more than 30% on a comparable basis. The strongest growth in 3 years. And now I would like to open the lines for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will start the question and answer session now. When you have a question, please press star one. I repeat, star one. This question, Mrs. Anna Furstman from ANP.
Yes, hi.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Could you explain to me how a crisis tax can impact the EBITDA? Because it's earnings before tax.
Yeah. The crisis tax is a tax levy on the taxes paid by employees, but to be paid by the company. And the taxes which are in our salaries, for example, they are not in the income tax of the P&L of the company. They are expense. So also this crisis tax, which is coming on top, is an expense element and not an income tax on the company's profit. And the EBITDA, so before taxes, means before taxes on company profits.
Okay, I can see that. Okay, thank you for now.
The next question is Mr. Andrew Nowell from Bloomberg. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Rolf, Dieter.
Good morning.
On the Omega 3 point that you raised in the statement, are there retailers, are they just pushing through what you've pushed through in terms of your raw material prices there, or are they, you know, adding a bit extra?
No, to our knowledge, they just pushed through. Basically, last year, because partly of a smaller harvest of fish oil, and also maybe the fisheries saw an opportunity to increase prices, there was quite a price pressure on our purchased fish oil, and we passed on this cost increase to keep our margins, and so the same happened in the value chain downstream. So we say basically we passed it on successfully, only that the consumers, at least temporarily, did not fully like this price increase on the shelf. So, but I don't think that it was more than what we had. Everybody tried to keep the margin, but the consumption volumes temporarily came down because of that. That's
Do you think the you know, the medical and so on, do you think that the reputation of Omega-3 is strong enough if the price climbs to if the price climbs to these levels? I mean, what I mean to say is, you know, the benefits that you might get from a, you know, an off-the-shelf nutritional supplement of Omega-3, do you think you can withstand that pressure, or are we seeing something sort of structural in the market?
No, we don't expect it to be structural at all. It's just the reaction to a short, quick price increase. The Omega-3 literature on benefits is still growing tremendously and almost by the day, and the market is also continuing to grow, so we don't expect anything structural here.
What about on the raw material side? Do you think that the problem there is structural? Because obviously it's a finite, you know, it's all about what's happening in Peru and the Humboldt current and so on. Kind of out of your hands.
No, this year, for example, the fish harvest is expected to be significantly higher. So also there, we do not see a structural change, but that was based on last year's situation, and this year's situation is different.
Okay, and thank you. And just a final one on caprolactam. Where do you think the market is in terms of? Have you reached the trough in that market, or are there any signs of encouragement?
Well, basically, since the margins in caprolactam came down in the middle of the second quarter last year, it's basically relatively stable. It's stable at a very low level, though. So we do not see at the moment that the situation will change in any structural way.
Right. Thank you very much. I better let somebody else in.
Next question from Ms. Martine Jelle from Reuters. Please go ahead, Ms.
Hi, good morning. Thank you very much for taking the call. I wanted to know if you could give an update on your strategic actions for the pharma products and polymer intermediates business. Where are you with that? And also wondering if you can comment on considering strategic actions for the caprolactam business. Thank you.
The latter two are the same because caprolactam is part of polymer intermediates. And
oh, okay.
We have said that because of the volatility of that business, which is kind of disturbing in our much more resilient portfolio, we have said we want to reduce that volatility by reducing the exposure to the merchant market. We need caprolactam for backward integration for our engineering plastics business. That is roughly one-third of our volumes. And the other two-thirds create a lot of volatility, and we want to reduce that exposure to the merchant market. I cannot give you any update there. We are working on it, and as soon as we have something to say, we will, of course, announce it.
Okay.
On pharma, the strategy is clear. We have a joint venture achieved 2 years ago with Sinochem for our anti-infectives business. That is a 50-50, and we look for a partnership in whatever kind, can be different solutions, but we look for a partnership also for our other pharma business, and also that is still ongoing, so no news, no update. When we have something, we will announce it. Of course, we will.
Thank you.
Next question, Mr. Peter Bruins from Dagblad De Limburger. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Could you please tell me how much is the amount of the Dutch crisis tax for DSM, or how big is the impact on the results?
Yeah, it's about 7 to 8 million for us.
78 million?
7 to 8.
7 to 8?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Okay. And about the EBITDA goal for 2015. How much is the EBITDA margin today?
It's about 13%, 13 to 14.
Okay.
So we really need to increase it and want to increase it.
Okay. And the return on capital employed now?
It's currently just below 10%.
Just
so
below.
From 10 to 11 to 12 is quite a significant step up in 2 years.
Okay. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, for any additional questions, you can still press star 1. I repeat, star 1. Next question from Anna Firstman from ANP. Please
yes.
Go ahead, miss.
Yes, hi again. Well, could you say anything on the on the growth in Asia, say on more modest levels? Do you see any pickup again?
Well, we have look, of course, mainly on China. That's clearly our biggest business in Asia, but we also have very good business in India and in Southeast Asia, Japan also. But the main focus, of course, where people look at is the growth rates in China. We, of course, were used to some years ago a double-digit growth rate above 10% on GDP, and that came down in the last years to 9, 8% levels, and this year we are in the 7% level range. And that 7% level, of course, is, if we had that here in Europe, that would be just fantastic. But in Asia, we were used to higher numbers, so we feel it is not as good anymore. But 7%, of course, also works on a larger economy in the meantime. So, in fact, it's not really bad what happens in China. It's just a bit lower. India is a bit more difficult. We see that also in the exchange rate effect, which happened in the last weeks or months on the Indian rupee, which declined quite significantly. Our business in China, of course, as I said, is the largest. It is a strong business in materials, but also in nutrition and also in pharma. And actually, if we accept for a second the caprolactam decline in prices, is actually growing.
Okay, so you don't, and with the economic growth, do you expect any, well, do you see any change in this?
Now, what we see and hear, but we also see it, is China really wants to move the growth from exports and infrastructure to domestic consumption. And that shift, although it's going slow, is happening. And that will eventually then, of course, when the consumption increases in the country, and it's not just the manufacturing place for the rest of the world, and the rest going into local infrastructure, mm-hmm. that of course will move the growth also up and be beneficial to us, especially in the nutrition area.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But when do you expect this to happen?
Yeah, it's a continuous process. It's also a target of the Chinese government. The old government already and the new government even focused more on that. They are also focusing on elements which also are very nice and interesting and positive for us, like environmental improvements. You know, of course, that we are very mm-hmm. strong in that area with sustainability. We have a lot to offer to go in that direction, and that is also high on the agenda of the Chinese government.
Okay, well, thank you.
Next question again from Ms. Martine Jelle from Reuters.
Hi there, thank you. Wondering if you could quantify specifically the Forex hit you're expecting for 2013?
Yeah, that is of course difficult because nobody knows what the exchanges will do in the next 3 months, but we saw quite some, yeah, you can either say weakening of quite a number of currencies around the world versus the euro, or you can say strengthening of the euro. Don't know what the right answer there is, maybe more the first one, like a lot of the high-growth economies, but also the U.S. We had 130 in July, now we are at 135. We expect the total effect of currencies, yeah, on basically current levels, to be in the range of 10 to 15 million euro on our EBITDA.
And that's for the full year?
Yeah, after this, we have, of course, partly hedged, so this is always for the exposure, which is still to the open market today.
Right. Okay, and then one more question, if I may, about your appetite for acquisitions moving forward. I know there's a few assets on the market in the ingredients business. Wondering how big is your appetite for acquisitions and what areas are you looking at?
Yeah, you know, we have done quite a bit in the last couple of years. We have invested almost 3 billion euros in acquisitions, most of it in nutrition. And we have said after the last acquisition announcement of size, which was in November last year, that for now we do not want to do more sizable acquisitions because first we need to digest what we bought. They have to be integrated, the synergies have to be delivered, and the growth has to be delivered. We are, of course, doing here and there small acquisitions, and we have been doing so in the first half year, but nothing of size for now, because the focus now is on integration, synergies, operational improvements, and, of course, our profit improvement programs across the company.
Okay, thank you very much.
There are no further questions. Please continue, sir.
Okay, then let me summarize in a few words. First of all, of course, if you look at the acquisitions and the integrations, which is all working nicely, we remain firmly on track to reach our strategic objectives. We have set a few new targets. Most of the existing targets are unchanged. Our priorities for the coming 2 years, therefore, are clear. For this year, we continue to expect to move towards our EBITDA target of 1.4 billion, so not to 1.4. We have always said towards, coming from closer to 1 billion. It's a huge step up, a huge increase. And because of some temporary factors, we have discussed those in the last minutes, that could result in EBITDA slightly below 1.35 billion, but that is a significant increase versus last year, more than 30% on a comparable basis. Thank you very much.
All right, this concludes the conference call. Maybe it's good to mention that our Capital Markets Day presentations can be followed via an audio webcast on dsm.com from 1:30 CET onwards, and then also the presentations can be found online. And thanks for joining, and have a great day.
This concludes the DSM conference call. Thank you for attending. You can disconnect your line now. Have a nice day.